The Luminous 100 Collective Inquiry Processes by Amanuel Santa Anna. Luminous Prosperity. Evolving Inquiry. The Seven Apertures of Collective Intelligence. Voice, Amanuel. Generated from the prompt, Collective Inquiry Processes, The Seven Conditions of a Genuine Inquiry Field.
Contents.
1. Self-organization. The emergence of collective inquiry. 2. Dissipative structures. Flow and form in living systems. 3. Autopoiesis. The self-creating nature of inquiry fields. 4. Attractors. Stability and change in collective processes. 5. Apertures. Clearing space for insight and healing. 6. Divine play. Evolutionary intelligence in action. 7. Collective intelligence. Integrating the seven conditions. Self-organization. The emergence of collective inquiry. Tuning fork. Haiku. Water swirls and finds its own shape in the river song. Play writes the world.
Gut.
Everything flows and is carried away. External things are never stationary in their essential nature. Heraclitus. Parable. The river's wisdom. Long ago, on the banks of a great river, elders gathered to decide how to build a bridge across the water. They debated for months. Some wanted stone arches, others wooden beams. But the river had no voice in their council. One day, a traveler arrived who had spent years watching rivers shape themselves. "Why ask yourselves how to build?" he said. "The river does not debate its own shape. It simply flows and the stones arrange themselves." The elder scoffed, but they watched as the traveler stepped into the water, moving with the current. Days passed. The elders saw that where the water swirled, small eddies formed natural steps. Where currents met, reeds wove together without planning. The river did not build a bridge. It revealed one in its movement. When the elders finally tried to step where the traveler had led them, they found that their own feet followed paths already worn by the water's dance. They built no bridge, but walked across the river as if it had always been there. The moral is not in the tale, but in the telling. Like self-organization, which does not assert itself, only invites those who are ready to see it. Structure and technique. The three steps of opening an aperture. Collective inquiry thrives on three simple yet profound techniques that scale over time. 1. Observe the swirl. Notice where energy gathers, like eddies in water, without naming it. This is the art of holding space for emergence. 2. Step into the current. Let go of control and move with what arises, trusting that patterns will reveal themselves, self-organization. 3. Walk across. After the movement, reflect on how the path formed, not to analyze, but to embody the intelligence that was always there. These steps work whether you're facilitating a group of 10 or 1,000, because they align with the hidden architecture of reality itself, self-similarity across scales. Luminous definition. Gold box, luminous definition, self-organization. Self-organization, the innate tendency of systems, whether drops of water forming a wave, neurons firing into thought, or people forming knowledge, to arrange themselves without external coercion. It is the mechanism by which order for free emerges from chaos, guided not by rules, but by the fun of exploring possibilities. Lila. In collective inquiry, it is the invisible hand that shapes inquiry fields when apertures are cleared. 3 appreciative questions. Start. What is a moment in your life or work where you saw something self-organize, like a team solving a problem without planning or ideas forming in conversation? Middle searing. Where have you resisted the flow of self-organization because it felt too messy, too uncertain, or too much like play to be serious? What pain did that resistance hold? And if self-organization were a language you spoke fluently, how might your work or your life look different today? The body, Lila as the engine of emergence. At the center of this book and of reality itself is Lila, the divine play that animates evolutionary intelligence. This is not the play of distraction or frivolity, but the real mechanism behind what people call the law of attraction. It is the third factor in emergent systems, the fun that drives exploration, the curiosity that leads to innovation, and the joy that makes healing possible. Self-organization is Lila in action. When apertures are cleared, whether in a group inquiry or within an individual's mind, the cosmic and the ridiculous become the. Okay, I'm about to write a chapter for a book titled Evolving Inquiry, The Seven Apertures of Collective Intelligence. The chapter's title is Self-Organization, The Emergence of Collective Inquiry, and it's part of a series that teaches collective inquiry processes. First, I need to understand the structure of this chapter. It should be a standalone holon, but also fit into the larger book. It's divided into several sections with specific requirements. 1. Tuning fork, a haiku, and a profound quote. 2. Parable, a story that teaches without asserting. 3. Structure and technique, universal practices that scale over time. 4. Luminous definition, a gold box definition of a term. 5. Three appreciative questions, start, searing middle one, and end. 6. The body, the actual teaching, centered on Lila, divine play. 7. 7 7-second sentences, 7 aphorisms. 8. Three exercises, building in strength over time. 9. Citations, real sources or placeholders for later. I need to ensure that the chapter aligns with the themes of evolutionary intelligence, self-organization, and collective inquiry. The voice should be rigorous but warm, architectural yet humble about pain. Let's break this down. 1. Tuning fork. Haiku. Needs to be life-uplifting and original. Quote, should be profound and attributed to someone relevant, perhaps related to self-organization or collective intelligence. Thought, maybe something about water or flow, since the book mentions water everything swims in. For the quote, perhaps something from a scientist or philosopher known for their work on complexity or systems theory. Maybe Herbert Spencer or someone more modern like Stuart Kaufman or Francisco Varela. 2. Parable. Needs to carry the teaching without asserting it directly. Thought, a story about nature or human society that illustrates self-organization. Maybe something about ants building a nest or birds flocking, but perhaps more abstract since it's about collective inquiry.
3. Structure et technique.
Simple, universal practices that scale over time. Thought, this could be about how to facilitate collective inquiry sessions. Maybe something like the 3 steps of opening an aperture or similar. Needs to be practical, yet profound. 4. Luminous definition. A gold box definition for a key term. Maybe self-organization or collective inquiry. Thought. The book mentions apertures. So perhaps that's the term here. But the chapter is about self-organization, so maybe define that. 5. 3 appreciative questions. Start with an easy one, then a searing middle question, and end with a reflective one. Thought. The start could be something like, what is an example of self-organization you've observed? The middle could be more challenging, perhaps about personal experience or pain related to the topic. The end could ask for reflection on how this applies to collective inquiry.
6. The body.
The actual teaching centered on Lila, divine play. Thought. This is where I delve into the concept of self-organization as a form of divine play, linking it to evolutionary intelligence and healing. It should feel like an exposition, but also poetic, aligning with complexity science. 7. 7 7-second sentences. 7 aphorisms that capture the essence in short bursts. Thought. These could be about self-organization, play, or collective inquiry. For example, self-organization is the dance of possibility. Or something about Lila being the fun within evolutionary intelligence. 8. 3 exercises. Building in strength over time. Accessible, deepening, advanced. Thought. Maybe start with observing self-organization in nature, then move to guiding a small group inquiry, and finally something more complex like designing a collective intelligence process. 9. Citations. Need real sources or placeholders for later. For now, I can note where citations are needed, like citation needed, claim about self-organization. Let me start drafting each section one by one. Title, Self-Organization, The Emergence of Collective Inquiry. 1. Tuning Fork. Haiku. Water swirls and finds its own shape in the river song. Play writes the world.
Good.
The universe is not only stranger than we imagine, it is stranger than we can imagine. J.B.S. Haldane, though this is more about strangeness, perhaps something about self-organization would fit better. Maybe from Stuart Kaufman or a systems thinker. Wait, the quote needs to be profound and related to self-organization or collective intelligence. How about, self-organization is the invisible hand that shapes the visible world. Citation needed, likely from a complexity scientist or systems theorist. But I don't know if this exact phrase exists, so perhaps better to use something attributed to a known figure. Maybe. Everything flows and is carried away. External things are never stationary in their essential nature. Heraclitus. This is more about flow, which aligns with self-organization. Yes, that works. 2. Parable. The River's Wisdom. Long ago, on the banks of a great river, elders gathered to decide how to build a bridge across the water. They debated for months. Some wanted stone arches, others wooden beams. But the river had no voice in their council. One day, a traveler arrived who had spent years watching rivers shape themselves. "Why ask yourselves how to build?" he said. "The river does not debate its own shape. It simply flows and the stones arrange themselves." The elder scoffed, but they watched as the traveler stepped into the water, moving with the current. Days passed. The elders saw that where the water swirled, small eddies formed natural steps. Where currents met, reeds wove together without planning. The river did not build a bridge. It revealed one in its movement. When the elders finally tried to step where the traveler had led them, they found that their own feet followed paths already worn by the water's dance. They built no bridge, but walked across the river as if it had always been there. The moral is not in the tale, but in the telling, like self-organization, which does not assert itself, only invites those who are ready to see it. 3. Structure and technique. The three steps of opening an aperture. Collective inquiry thrives on three simple yet profound techniques that scale over time. 1. Observe the swirl. Notice where energy gathers, like eddies in water, without naming it. This is the art of holding space for emergence. 2. Step into the current. Let go of control and move with what arises, trusting that patterns will reveal themselves, self-organization. 3. Walk across. After the movement, reflect on how the path formed, not to analyze, but to embody the intelligence that was always there. These steps work whether you're facilitating a group of 10 or 1,000, because they align with the hidden architecture of reality itself, self-similarity across scales. 4. Luminous definition. Gold box luminous definition, self-organization. Self-organization. The innate tendency of systems, whether drops of water forming a wave, neurons firing into thought, or people forming knowledge, to arrange themselves without external coercion. It is the mechanism by which order for free emerges from chaos, guided not by rules, but by the fun of exploring possibilities. Lila. In collective inquiry, it is the invisible hand that shapes inquiry fields when apertures are cleared. 5. 3 appreciative questions. Start. What is a moment in your life or work where you saw something self-organize, like a team solving a problem without planning or ideas forming in conversation? Middle searing. Where have you resisted the flow of self-organization because it felt too messy, too uncertain, or too much like play to be serious? What pain did that resistance hold? And if self-organization were a language you spoke fluently, how might your work or your life look different today? 6. The body. Lila as the engine of emergence. At the center of this book, and of reality itself, is Lila, the divine play that animates evolutionary intelligence. This is not the play of distraction or frivolity, but the real mechanism behind what people call the law of attraction. It is the third factor in emergent systems, the fun that drives exploration, the curiosity that leads to innovation, and the joy that makes healing possible. Self-organization is Lila in action. When apertures are cleared, whether in a group inquiry or within an individual's mind, the cosmic and the ridiculous become the same size. This is not metaphor. It is how reality works. Every tradition, every myth, is a mirror of what we already are, systems that play with possibility. Healing is not an act of the self, but a property of reality moving through cleared apertures, like light through a prism or water finding its level. The work is not to manifest your desires as if you were in control, but to align with the real complexity science describes, dissipative structures, autopoiesis, attractors that pull us toward what wants to emerge. This alignment requires rigor, not glibness. It demands humility, knowing that when we say the map is the territory, we are describing a living system, not an abstract idea. Lila does not preach. It swims. And like water, it finds its own shape. 7. 7 7-second sentences. 1. Self-organization is the dance of possibility, where fun meets necessity. 2. Cleared apertures let reality heal itself, like a cut that scabs over without thought. 3. Lila is not chaos. It is the architect's joy in building what wants to be built. 4. Every tradition is a mirror. See yourself in the myth and the science both. 5. Pain is the friction where self-organization meets resistance. Acknowledge it. Step through. 6. The law of attraction works backward. It pulls from what you've already become. 7. Play is the hidden curriculum of evolution. Pay attention to the fun. 8. 3 exercises, from observation to mastery. Exercise 1. See the swirl, accessible. Spend 5 minutes observing self-organization in nature, a flock of birds, a crowd at a market, or your own thoughts. Notice how patterns emerge without a leader. Journal. What did you see? Where did you resist seeing it? Exercise 2. Guide the current deepening. Facilitate a 30-minute group inquiry where participants explore a question without structure. Afterward, reflect. How did the group's energy self-organize? Where did you intervene or withhold intervention? What was the fun in this process? Exercise 3. Design the river, advanced. Create a collective inquiry process for a real-world challenge, e.g., organizational strategy. Map out how apertures will be cleared to allow Lila to emerge. Share your design and gather feedback. How does this process align with self-organization? Where might resistance arise, and how can you prepare? 9. Citations. 1. Heraclitus quote, for the tuning fork, citation needed. Verify attribution or source for the exact phrasing. 2. Luminous definition of self-organization. Citation needed. Sources on complexity science, e.g., Prigozhin, Kaufman, or Varela on autopoiesis. 3. The section on healing and apertures may need citations from systems theory or physics, e.g., Bohm's implicate order, or work on dissipative structures. 4. The mention of the law of attraction as a misnomer for self-organization, citation needed, likely from a critical perspective on manifesting literature. Now, let me weave all this together into a cohesive chapter. Self-organization, the emergence of collective inquiry. Tuning fork, haiku. Water swirls and finds its own shape in the river song. Play writes the world.
Guot.
Everything flows and is carried away. External things are never stationary in their essential nature. Heraclitus. Parable, the river's wisdom. Long ago, on the banks of a great river, elders gathered to decide how to build a bridge across the water. They debated for months. Some wanted stone arches, others wooden beams. But the river had no voice in their council. One day, a traveler arrived who had spent years watching rivers shape themselves. "Why ask yourselves how to build?" he said. "The river does not debate its own shape. It simply flows and the stones arrange themselves." The elder scoffed, But they watched as the traveler stepped into the water, moving with the current. Days passed. The elders saw that where the water swirled, small eddies formed natural steps. Where currents met, reeds wove together without planning. The river did not build a bridge. It revealed one in its movement. When the elders finally tried to step where the traveler had led them, they found that their own feet followed paths already worn by the water's dance. They built no bridge, but walked across the river as if it had always been there. The moral is not in the tale, but in the telling. Like self-organization, which does not assert itself, only invites those who are ready to see it. Structure and technique, the three steps of opening an aperture. Collective inquiry thrives on three simple yet profound techniques that scale over time. 1. Observe the swirl. Notice where energy gathers, like eddies in water, without naming it. This is the art of holding space for emergence. 2. Step into the current. Let go of control and move with what arises, trusting that patterns will reveal themselves, self-organization. 3. Walk across. After the movement, reflect on how the path formed, not to analyze, but to embody the intelligence that was always there. These steps work whether you're facilitating a group of 10 or 1,000, because they align with the hidden architecture of reality itself, self-similarity across scales. Luminous definition. Gold box luminous definition, self-organization. Self-organization. The innate tendency of systems, whether drops of water forming a wave, neurons firing into thought, or people forming knowledge, to arrange themselves without external coercion. It is the mechanism by which order for free emerges from chaos, guided not by rules, but by the fun of exploring possibilities. Lila. In collective inquiry, it is the invisible hand that shapes inquiry fields when apertures are cleared. 3 appreciative questions.
Start.
What is a moment in your life or work where you saw something self-organize, like a team solving a problem without planning or ideas forming in conversation?
Middle searing.
Where have you resisted the flow of self-organization because it felt too messy, too uncertain, or too much like play to be serious? What pain did that resistance hold? And if self-organization were a language you spoke fluently, how might your work or your life look different today? The body, Lila as the engine of emergence. At the center of this book and of reality itself is Lila, the divine play that animates evolutionary intelligence. This is not the play of distraction or frivolity, but the real mechanism behind what people call the law of attraction. It is the third factor in emergent systems, the fun that drives exploration, the curiosity that leads to innovation, and the joy that makes healing possible. Self-organization is Lila in action. When apertures are cleared, whether in a group inquiry or within an individual's mind, the cosmic and the ridiculous become the same size. This is not metaphor. It is how reality works. Every tradition, every myth, is a mirror of what we already are, systems that play with possibility. Healing is not an act of the self, but a property of reality moving through cleared apertures, like light through a prism or water finding its level. The work is not to manifest your desires as if you were in control, but to align with the real complexity science describes, dissipative structures, autopoiesis, attractors that pull us toward what wants to emerge. This alignment requires rigor, not glibness. It demands humility, knowing that when we say the map is the territory, we are describing a living system, not an abstract idea. Lila does not preach. It swims. And like water, it finds its own shape. 7 7-second sentences. 1. Self-organization is the dance of possibility, where fun meets necessity. 2. Cleared apertures let reality heal itself, like a cut that scabs over without thought. 3. Lila is not chaos. It is the architect's joy in building what wants to be built. 4. Every tradition is a mirror. See yourself in the myth and the science both. 5. Pain is the friction where self-organization meets resistance. Acknowledge it. Step through. 6. The law of attraction works backward. It pulls from what you've already become. 7. Play is the hidden curriculum of evolution. Pay attention to the fun. 3 exercises, from observation to mastery. Exercise 1. See the swirl, accessible. Spend 5 minutes observing self-organization in nature, a flock of birds, a crowd at a market, or your own thoughts. Notice how patterns emerge without a leader. Journal. What did you see? Where did you resist seeing it? Exercise 2. Guide the current deepening. Facilitate a 30-minute group inquiry where participants explore a question without structure. Afterward, reflect. How did the group's energy self-organize? Where did you intervene or withhold intervention? What was the fun in this process? Exercise 3. Design the river advanced. Create a collective inquiry process for a real-world challenge, e.g., organizational strategy. Map out how apertures will be cleared to allow Lila to emerge. Share your design and gather feedback. How does this process align with self-organization? Where might resistance arise, and how can you prepare? Citations. 1. Heraclitus quote. Citation needed. Verify attribution or source for the exact phrasing. 2. Luminous definition of self-organization. Citation needed. Sources on complexity science, e.g., Prigogine, Kaufman, or Varela on autopoiesis. 3. The section on healing and apertures may need citations from systems theory or physics, e.g., Bohm's implicate order, or work on dissipative structures. 4. The mention of the law of attraction as a misnomer for self-organization. Citation needed, likely from a critical perspective on manifesting literature. Let me review this to ensure it meets all the requirements. 1. Tuning fork. Haiku and quote are present. 2. Parable. Story is there, teaching without asserting. 3. Structure and technique. 3 steps are clear and scalable. 4. Luminous definition. Gold box definition is included. 5. 3 appreciative questions. Start, searing middle, and questions are present. 6. The body. Focused on Lila and self-organization as divine play. 7. 7 7-second sentences. 7 aphorisms are listed. 8. 3 exercises. Building in strength from accessible to advanced. 9. Citations. Placeholders for needed citations. I think this is complete. I'll format it properly with Markdown and LaTeX where needed, though LaTeX isn't strictly necessary here, but perhaps for emphasis or mathematical references if any were included. None here, so I'll skip that. Here's the final version. Dissipative structures. Flow and form in living systems. Tuning fork. Haiku. Water carves the stone. Not by force, but by dance. Time's gentle design.
Kua.
Order through fluctuations, not equilibrium. Citation needed. Ilya Prigogine. Parable. The river's dance. Long ago, in a valley where time moved like water itself, there lived a river. Not one that rushed impatiently to the sea, but one that flowed with quiet purpose, carving its path stone by stone, bend by bend. It began as a trickle high in the mountains, barely more than a whisper against the earth. But as it gathered momentum and volume, it learned the art of persuasion. It didn't force itself upon the rocks that stood in its way. Instead, it danced around them, wearing them down with patience, one drop at a time. One day, a great boulder lay across its path, stubborn and unyielding. The river did not rage against it or seek to uproot it in one violent act. Instead, it flowed around the boulder, finding new paths through the softer earth on either side. But it didn't stop there. It remembered the path it had taken, and over time, it deepened its channel, shaping the land around it with each passing season. Years passed like pages turned, and the river grew older and wiser. It learned that sometimes, to move forward, it had to step back. When drought came, it retreated into the earth, nourishing itself in hidden springs. When storms arrived, it surged with renewed vigor, carving new channels where old ones had grown stale. One evening, As the sun painted the valley in hues of gold and crimson, an elder of the nearby village sat by the riverbank, watching its dance. A young apprentice asked, "How does the river know which path to take? Does it follow a map hidden beneath the earth?" The elder chuckled softly, dipping a finger into the water. "No map guides it, child. The river is both the dancer and the dance. It shapes itself as much as it shapes the world around it. Its path emerges from its very flow." And so, the river continued its journey, neither seeking nor avoiding its destination, but simply being what it was, water in motion, shaping and being shaped, always in flux, yet ever constant in its essence. Structure and technique. Practices that flow. 1. Flow mapping. What it is, observe and map the flow of something, water, ideas, people, or energy in your environment. Track how it moves, where it gets stuck, and how it adapts. How to do it? A. Choose a system to observe, e.g., a river, a team project, your daily routine. B. Note the points of resistance or stagnation. C. Sketch or journal the flow, noting how it changes over time. Why it works? It trains you to see systems as dynamic and responsive rather than static. 2. Adaptive bending. What it is, practice adapting your approach without losing your core purpose, like a river bending around rocks but always flowing toward the sea. How to do it? A. Identify an obstacle in your path, personal or systemic. B. Ask, how can I adapt my flow rather than force my way? C. Experiment with small adjustments and observe the outcomes. Why it works? It builds resilience by teaching you that change is not resistance but part of the dance. 3. Fluctuation embracing. What it is, treat small fluctuations or disruptions as signals rather than threats, learning to ride the waves rather than fight them. How to do it? A. Notice minor changes in your environment, e.g., a detour on your commute, a shift in project dynamics. B. Pause and ask, what is this fluctuation teaching me? C. Adjust your approach accordingly. Why it works? It shifts your perspective from control to co-creation with the system. Luminous definition. Lila. The divine play inherent in evolutionary intelligence, the spontaneous, creative energy that emerges when systems align with the flow of reality rather than resist it. Lila is the joyful chaos of co-creation, where structure and dissolution dance together in endless emergence. 3 appreciative questions. 1. Start. Where in your life do you see evidence of flow, a pattern, a rhythm, or an emerging order? How does it invite you to participate rather than control? 2. Middle searing. What structures in your life are built on resistance, whether to change, to others, or to the natural fluctuations of reality, and how might dissolving them open you to greater intelligence? 3. End. If you were to surrender to Lila, the divine play of emergence, what would you begin to create that you couldn't see before? The body, Lila in the flow. Dissipative structures are not just abstract concepts from thermodynamics or biology. They are autopoiesis, the self-creating nature of inquiry fields. Tuning fork, haiku. Spring rain whispers. Life stirs in the earth's deep hum. New forms emerge.
Guat.
Everything flows and nothing stands still. Heraclitus. Parable. The whispering trees. In an ancient forest, the trees stood tall and wise, each knowing its own path to growth. They did not speak in words, but communicated through rustling leaves and roots entwined beneath the earth. One season, a great storm came, uprooting some of the oldest trees. Yet from their fallen forms, new shoots sprouted, as if the forest itself had remembered how to grow anew. The younger trees gathered around the stumps, not in sorrow, but in curiosity. They leaned into the wind, their branches swaying in patterns that seemed to hold secrets. Over time, they realized that it was not just the wind that shaped them, but their own movements, small adjustments, bending here, stretching there, that allowed them to stand stronger after the storm. One day, A traveler came upon this forest and wondered at its resilience. She asked an elder tree, "How do you rebuild yourselves after such destruction?" The tree replied with a rustle of leaves, "We do not rebuild. We remember how to grow." But the traveler pressed further, "Who teaches you? Who guides your growth?" The tree fell silent for a moment, then whispered back, "No one teaches us. We learn from each other, from the earth, and from the wind itself." And with that, she knew it was not magic, but a dance, one of giving and taking, of strength shared and challenges met together. The forest thrived not because its trees followed a leader or a plan, but because they listened to one another in an endless, self-creating conversation. The storm had not broken them. It. Okay, I am writing chapter 3 of Evolving Inquiry, The 7 Apertures of Collective Intelligence. The title is Autopoiesis, The Self-Creating Nature of Inquiry Fields. The book teaches about collective inquiry processes and their 7 conditions. First, I need to structure the chapter according to the given movements. Let's break it down. 1. Tuning fork, a haiku, and a profound quote. Haiku should be life-uplifting and original. Quote should be profound and attributed. 2. Parable, a story that carries the teaching without asserting it directly. 3. Structure and technique, simple, universal practices that scale over time. 4. Luminous definition, a gold box definition of a key term. 5. 3 appreciative questions. Start with an accessible one. Middle should be searing or challenging. End with another thoughtful question. 6. The body, the actual teaching, centered on Lila, divine play, evolutionary intelligence. 7. 7 7-second sentences, 7 aphorisms that are atoms of wisdom. 8. 3 exercises. Accessible, beginner. Deepening, intermediate. Advanced. 9. Citations, real sources, with placeholders for any claims needing citations later. Let's tackle each section one by one. 1. Tuning fork. Haiku. I think about something that embodies life and uplifting energy. Maybe something about nature or transformation. Spring rain whispers. Life stirs in the earth's deep hum. New forms emerge.
What?
Looking for a profound quote related to autopoiesis or self-creating systems. I recall that Francisco Varela, who coined the term autopoiesis, might have something relevant, but since we need real sources, perhaps something from systems theory or philosophy. A good one could be from Heraclitus. Everything flows and nothing stands still. That's profound and timeless. But let me double check if that's too abstract. Maybe something more directly related to autopoiesis or inquiry fields. Alternatively, from the book itself or a similar source. Autopoiesis is the organization of the living as a network of processes of production and destruction, of components that, 1. Through their interactions and transformations, continuously regenerate and realize the network of processes, relations, which produce them, and 2. Realize the realization of the network as a concrete domain of existence in which they, the components, exist. Maturana and Varela, Autopoiesis and Cognition. But since this is a direct quote from their work, it might be too technical. Maybe something more poetic or philosophical. Perhaps. Reality is a dance of relationships, not a static structure. Attributed to some systems thinker, but I'm not sure who exactly said that. I'll note citation needed.